My three-year-old granddaughter Vivian has entered a new phase. And as part of that new phase, bedtime can be a little scary. And so sometimes at night, we need to reassure her that there are no spiders in her bed or ghosts in the closet. There's nothing lurking in the dark. The night light is left on. The door is left open. So little Vivi knows that her family is still there and that she is safe and sound. You know, any one of us as adults would be happy to offer that kind of comfort to a child, right? To relieve their fears. To tell them everything's okay. You're safe. There's nothing to fear. If only we were as good at telling ourselves the same things. Because we adults can be pretty fearful, can't we? You know, sometimes outer circumstances scare us, and sometimes we scare ourselves. We conjure up all sorts of frightening stories and worst-case scenarios. We latch on to really scary thoughts, and we tell them to ourselves over and over again. Is anybody to this out? Over again until we're either freaked out or immobilized. Really caught up in this, what if this happens? What if that happens? You know, fear in itself is not a bad thing. Fear can actually serve a very useful purpose. It can work for us when it causes us to be a little bit more discerning about our decisions and our actions. So fear keeps us from running out in front of a car, for example, or betting all of our money on the lottery, or taking unnecessary risks with our health or our safety. But pervasive fear works against us. And in 1933, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself," he knew how destructive fear can be. He knew that heightened fear, continuing fear, breeds insecurity, aggression, violence, injustice, desperation. That it fuels man's inhumanity to man. This kind of continuing fear reduces us to our lowest selves and blocks the expression of our highest selves. Is it not true? Do you not experience that in your own life? Well, the scripture writers knew that we must overcome fear in order to reach our spiritual potential. Be not afraid is the most often repeated commandment in the Bible. There are 365 scripture verses that tell us to not be afraid. And the sentence, "fear not," appears nearly 80 times. 80 times in the Old and the New Testament, in visions and in dreams, invoked by angels and prophets and spoken by Jesus. And in each case, the antidote to fear is the same. Have faith. Have faith. Well, those of us who are Christians with questions, or we would say spiritual seekers, might well ask, okay, but what are we to have faith in? And if in fact we're to have faith in God, what exactly does that mean? And how do we do it? So let's see what Jesus advised in one of the classic stories in the Bible about fear and faith. And it's the story of him calming the storm. That's so timely, it's hilarious. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Nick. All right, so here's how this story is told in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side," and leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Traditional Christianity interprets this literally and takes it to mean that Jesus had extraordinary powers, that with just a couple of words, he could calm this raging storm. The implication is that anytime we are going through a hard time, we can call on Jesus to rescue us because he can do things we can't. I'm not saying here that we shouldn't or don't call on Jesus as our spiritual wayshower, brother, or guide, or comfort in a time of need. But this traditional interpretation disempowers us and puts all of the power in him. In Unity, we interpret this story very differently. We don't take it literally. We interpret it metaphorically. And in our view, Jesus' ministry, as evidenced even in this story, was not about setting himself apart as being uniquely different from all of us. Quite the contrary. His purpose was to help us understand the capabilities within us, the power within us. Remember, what I have done, you shall do too, and greater things still. You see, in Unity, we teach that Jesus was the great example, not the great exception. He was the great example of what is possible for each of us, and I believe that more than anything, he fervently wanted us to discover the power within us and apply it in our lives. And so what we see is that while the church might teach that we are to have faith in Jesus, Jesus was trying to teach us to have faith in God in us, to have faith in ourselves. So think about this for a moment. Let's go back to the story. If Jesus wanted to portray himself as some kind of a superhero, he wouldn't have admonished the disciples for calling on him for help. More than likely, he would have said, "Hey, thanks for waking me up. Sorry I dozed off there. Let me just take care of this storm for you. Let's just take a second. And by the way, if this ever happens again, be sure to call on me." He didn't say that. He asked them, "Where is your faith? Where's your faith in yourselves? Where's your faith in each other? Where is your faith in the immense power and presence of God within you that will see you through any storm?" You see, he knew that the real source of their suffering was their fear. And that was totally within their control. You see, he was encouraging them to calm themselves on the inside so that they could weather the storm on the outside. Well, the same lesson goes for each of us. We can have faith in our own ability to create peace within, regardless of what is happening in outer circumstances. We can really know that God is within us and tap in to that incredible wellspring of power and wisdom so that we can be a center of strength for ourselves and for each other. And just as Jesus commanded the storm to be at peace, we can command peace within ourselves, and we can do it by using these same three words: peace, be still. Say it with me. Peace, be still. One more time. Peace, be still. Three simple words that can allow us to create calm within ourselves, calm the raging emotions and thoughts and fears that are running wild with us, that can bring us back to that center, that sanctuary within us. Because when we go back into the presence of God within us, that safe place within us, then we can mindfully decide what to do next. We can mindfully decide where to place our focus and what to do. This teaching is very meaningful for me right now, because I will share with you that what I am most fearful about, where I find myself getting caught in fear, is about what's happening in our country. The deepening divisions, the continued racial injustice, the prolonged pandemic, and now I have fears around the security of our election in November, voter access, all of that. And honestly, if I focus too much on any one of these issues, I can work myself up into quite a tizzy. And so here's what I'm doing to try to manage that. And the very first thing is to say to myself exactly what Jesus said. To notice when I'm getting caught up in worry and anxiety and fear and say to myself, peace, be still. Peace, be still. And in that way, remember to breathe, right? Breathe, be present, be here now, and let go of that web of worry that I've gotten caught up in. And then from that place of peace within, I make a decision. The decision is whether to continue to focus on this issue or topic or concern that I have, or to focus on something else. Realizing that I'm inflicting some suffering on myself here, the question is, do I want to continue to be focused on this, or do I want to shift to something else? Now, if the decision is, I need to continue to focus on this, I'm concerned enough, this will not let me go, then the next question I ask is, what can I do to make it better? What action can I take to forestall whatever I am fearful will come about? You see, when we take action on what is concerning us, it is the surest way to begin to relieve that pain. And so I, in my own life, am getting involved in voter education, voter registration efforts, more discussions and understanding around racial justice. And some of those are offerings that we are opening up here at Unity Renaissance for those of you who feel similarly inclined to get involved. Because let me say this, every one of these is a spiritual issue. These are not political issues. These are not separate from us. They are grounded in how we see, relate to, and treat each other. And they deserve attention for anyone who takes seriously their spiritual growth. Well, thank you. Now, if, on the other hand, I am beginning to go under with worry or concern, and just kind of losing it, frankly, I have the choice to shift to something else. You see, this is the incredible power within us. We can change gears. It's just like changing the radio dial, right? Going to a different frequency. I don't want this. I'm going to shift my attention elsewhere. So if radio social issues in America is not right for me right now, I'll turn the dial over to Radio Richard and Family, or I'll focus on little Maya or Vivian. I'll bring up, you know, all those wonderful photos and videos I have of them. I'll think about all of you and what we're doing here. I'll listen to uplifting music, go for walks in nature. And lately, I will tune into the Kansas City Chiefs. Can I hear it for football? Oh my gosh, I've never been more grateful. I've never been more grateful for football. Are you hearing that, Dad? My dad would be so proud. Anyway. Just a little slice of normalcy in an otherwise extremely abnormal time, right? But the point is this, you're in charge. You're in charge. See, this is an incredible power within us to choose our thoughts and to choose our action and to be a force for good in the world. And whether your current fears, if you have them, I assume you do, are about bigger issues like what I've discussed, or whether they're very deeply personal, whether they're around health or finances or employment or relationships, whatever it is, you can take these same three steps to deal with them. And the first is, with all that love and compassion and power of Jesus, say to yourself when you're caught up in fear, peace, be still. And then decide, bringing into mind whatever the fear is. Am I going to take some action here? Am I going to stay focused on this? And if so, what can I do to make it better? Or am I going to shift to a different topic or a different frequency? Nothing will make you feel better if you have a fear than taking action to address it. And so if you're worried about your health, you can make an appointment to see a doctor to get those tests done that you keep denying and pretending you don't need to have done. If you're worried about your finances, you can see a financial advisor or talk to a knowledgeable friend. If you're having troubles personally or in relationships, you can make an appointment to see a counselor or a therapist. Put that foot in the water, just like Moses. You got to take action, take a step. And then if it's not something you really want to address right now, give yourself permission to let it go and tune into another frequency. You know, Emmett Fox, who was really a great Unity minister, he said that every problem has the same solution. He called it the golden key. And this is it. No matter what is weighing on you, no matter what is bothering you, stop thinking about the problem and instead think about God. Stop thinking about the problem, turn the dial, and start thinking about God, whatever you conceive God to be. The incredible wonder of nature. This new day, the mystery, the divine mystery out there, the synchronicities, the coincidences, the ways in which we are deeply connected that we don't even always understand. As you turn your thoughts in that direction, the problems disappear. It's an option for you. It's not always the right option, but it is one option. And as we do these things, we build our faith. We build our faith in our own power to shape our lives and to shape the future. Not only do we build our faith in ourselves, but we build our faith in each other. We build our faith in humanity. Christopher Naughton is sitting right there. He's one of our board secretaries, and Christopher's writing a book. I can hardly wait to read it. It's going to come out in 2021. It's called America's Next Great Awakening. Anyone who knows Christopher knows that he's a brilliant scholar of history as well as spirituality, and this wonderful book will explore more fully both and talk about the evolution of consciousness in America. But in the foreword, Christopher recaps some of the immense challenges our nation has been through. I really want you to hear this because this has helped me so much, Christopher. Remembering the immense challenges our nation has faced in the past, the wars, the hardships, the divisions, the setbacks, incredible obstacles we've overcome. We've always found a way, and Christopher writes, we Americans, in the toughest times, have always found our way. Something deep within the American soul and the most fundamental belief about ourselves has ultimately prevailed. And so hold to that in your faith work. And to the ultimate goodness of God in us, and that it will prevail. And meanwhile, in your own life, let God speak in, as, and through you. Let God speak in you, to you. You see, I like to imagine having my higher self speak to my frightened self, and you can do the same thing. In the same way that you would calm a frightened child, in the same way we help Vivian feel safe and sound when she goes off to sleep at night, your God self can say to this worried, frightened part of you, you're okay. It's okay. You're safe. You are dearly loved and deeply cherished. And all will be well. So keep the faith and keep going. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to close your eyes, take a deep breath in. Release into peace. Feel that gentle breeze, those of you who are here. Calming, peace, peace be still. Peace, peace, my friends. Be still. Take a deep breath in. Whatever may have been weighing on you or worrying you or creating fear, just give yourself permission in this moment to completely set it aside. Turn your attention to your own heart space. Feel the goodness there. Feel the love. Know that this same heart space exists in each and every living being. In this moment, I invite you to bring into your mind whatever images, whatever people, whatever memories, whatever blessings come to you that remind you that life is beautiful, that life is precious, and amazing, wondrous things are happening every day. Your family, your friends, your spiritual community, God showing up in the right way at the right time within you to guide your way. Revel in it. Let this be your frequency for a few moments in the silence. As we feel gratitude bubble up within us, we go forward from this service today with renewed faith, hope, optimism, and this pervading sense of oneness, and God doing a mighty work to bring to expression a new and better day. We will do our part, and we say, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.